everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast from Italy on this 19th day of April, 7:14 in the morning. I am Jason. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao tutti.
Together we run, own, operate, and live at La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo and cooking school here in the heart of Piobico, Italy, where it is -2 degrees and snowing with wind out of the north from Siberia.
What? It's April 19th. You must be wrong, Jason.
Oh, no. I woke up at about 3:30 this morning and tossed and turned for about 45 minutes and checked outside because they said the cold air was coming from the north.
It's been the talk of the town. It has been the talk of the town. And in fact, this was on our notes to talk about for the podcast. I just didn't realize it was going to be happening while we did the podcast.
We rolled out of bed at a little after 6, and it was there was like kind of like some sleety stuff just on the window of the car.
And I was like, aha, see, I told you it snowed. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd really count that as snow. We go inside, we make some coffee, our big cappuccino in the morning, and as we walk out, it starts snowing. We get into our place. It starts snowing heavier. It's been snowing for about an hour and a half now, it is sticking and coming down solid. If this was December, January, February, I would be so excited, thinking, movie day, snow, yes. Since it's April 19th, it's kind of like freak out time because...
All the trees have bloomed. All the fruit trees have bloomed. All the... there's some, you know, the things we put in the garden have all popped up because it's been warm out. And
there's flowers all over. Thank God the onions are in dietro, a little behind on the coast, because Gaji was rearing to put them in about a week ago. And top it all off, in 2 days' time, we've got a yoga retreat showing up, thinking they were doing spring yoga outside by the pool. It's freaking frozen out. This is, I don't know. We've had snow in March before. And in fact, just yesterday, I don't know why we even talked about it, but we had to freaking say, oh, no snow in March this year. We got lucky. No. It happened in April.
This happened in the second half of April.
So this is after Easter.
This is still happening. Big, fat, puffy snowflakes are coming down at a very good clip. We should, you know, Ash, you should put up a, should we hit pause and put up a little time lapse thing?
Oh, sure.
Okay, hold on. Let's hit pause. All right, all set up.
Time lapse set. Definitely check the blog post for this because we'll have pictures and video from this. We were Facebooking live first thing this morning because this is just unreal. I don't know. Let's talk global warming, folks.
Easter's come and gone. Thank goodness. It was too much eating, too much.
Oh my God.
Too much chocolate. We watched Rosanna this year instead of breaking the egg with a karate chop, like we talked about. Dedicated podcasters will know about the story of La Rosanna, the wife of Gaji, who gets the enormous giant egg every year and chops it in half with a karate chop perfectly. This year she used a. Bamboo, one of the bamboo poles we used to tie up tomatoes. I don't know why.
Because Gaji saw that I was filming it.
He wanted it more dramatic.
She was getting ready to kung fu chop it, and he stopped her and said, no, no, no. For the camera, use this.
But
he's so funny. He loves to direct.
In classic Gaji and Rosanna form, he gave her all three of these eggs, but then wanted to be very bossy about how she opened them. And she told him that these are my gifts. They're mine to do as I please. If I want, I'll open what I want. Go to bed.
She did. She told him to go to bed. That was great. We ate way too much. And also, really funny Italian way is they have the TV in the kitchen in a lot of homes, and they'll sit at the kitchen table in the regular hardback wooden chairs and watch
in this area.
And watch television and the news while they eat. And since it was just us with Gaji and Rosanna, we had the news on, and because it's Easter, it was the Pope. And
yeah, we got to watch the Pope's Mass,
uh-huh.
Which was kind of interesting. I guess it's always been on, but I've never really.
Of course,
been,
it's always on.
I've never really been. Sat there and watched it.
No, but it was nice. And just kind of that classic, that's just a little sliver of life right there.
So that was a very nice lunch. We came back, passed out, food coma, woke
total
up.
Total food coma.
And then felt kind of, even though I wasn't I didn't really drink. I felt like this drunk all afternoon.
I know. We were just out of it.
Pasquetto or Luna di Pasqua. Easter Monday is another holiday here, and that was a work day for us because we have guests coming. So I got the grass cut, and we got the house in order, and we're ready to go, even though it's snowing out. There's just a few things. Everything got really put away. The pool is drained, cleaned, and I hate the pool.
Jason.
Can I just bitch about the pool for 2 seconds? Those of you who have a pool can empathize with me, I guess. I would love to fill the pool in and put a garden. We took the cover off the pool, went to drain it, and found a...
Wait, you're jumping ahead.
What?
You drained the pool, and then you left the pump in the bottom of the pool. And as Jason was finishing cleaning the pool, he had done a great job ahead of schedule. It looked great. And he had the pump at the bottom, finishing getting the last bits of water.
A 5-horsepower Honda gas pump.
We've just been talking about how this thing freaking chooches. It works. And how lucky we are that it was here. And this thing's lasted for years more than anything else. And... as he's getting out of the pool from cleaning it, he shouts down to me to turn off the hose because he had been washing it out. I go shut off the hose and head inside, and he follows right behind. And
I was tired. This is such a bonehead move.
You were tired. He was really.
I was exhausted. So I ask Ash. Ash comes out and says, "All right, enough. You know, you're done. It's time to come to eat dinner." I go, "Great. Will you shut the hose off for me? Because I'm using the hose to scrub the walls, get all the junk off the walls as I scrub them." So she shuts off the hose. I go about putting away all my tools and cleaning up a little bit. I don't know. 5 minutes passes. I think, oh, the hose is on. I go and turn it back on. So I turned a shut-off hose back on. The hose is in the pool. The pump is at the bottom of an empty pool. No water. Zero water in this pool. Next morning, I come back out to check it out. And
proud of all the work you've done.
I've done, and there is a good meter of water in the bottom of the pool. And it's like one of those things where your mind doesn't compute. Like, it didn't rain last night. It's warm. Like, what? And then I look a little closer, and I see my pump under about 30 centimeters of water. It's like, oh, how did this happen? And then I pull the hose up, and sure enough, it's pumping water. So
I just hear like a slew of explicitives, like by the pool, thinking, what the hell happened?
Well, it's just such an idiot move that
Shout out to a podcast listener, friend of ours, Renato. Jason ran inside and knew this engineer friend of ours would be online late because he's in Boston, and it was the first thing in the morning here in Italy. And he runs in and Facebooks him, "What do I do?" And he step by step.
So I'll give it to Honda. I drained everything, let it dry out, filled it back up with, changed the filter, changed the spark plug. The switch was actually the switch dried out. I can't believe it. Changed the oil like 3 or 4 times until it didn't run milky anymore from water being in there. And that night she was pumping the water out. It's incredible. little Honda Motors. I'll give it to them.
Seriously.
They are tough.
Yep. Honda tough.
So that was the first hurdle. Then,
just going, God damn it, I'm ahead of schedule. And I have to waste a whole day waiting for this dealing with this. All right, so now the pump's all back together.
Well, and as soon as we took the cover off, this was the first problem. I saw a beautiful 25 centimeter, over a foot rip in the liner of the pool. The pool here is lined in this heavy PVC vinyl pool liner. And the top, right at the top where it meets the border and hooks into the top, it ripped down across 25 centimeters horizontally and opened like a big mouth. And the liner has little nicks in it every year. That there's a little patch kit that you can get, and it has special. The vinyl and a special glue that'll hold, and it works okay. But this is big.
There ain't no patch for this.
This is bad. And in typical Italian fashion, I call the pool guy and tell him what happened, and over the phone, and he just says, "Nope, you need a new pool liner," without coming out to check it out. Nothing. I mean, it's just no. You know, It's automatically a no. And it's, I don't want to replace a pool liner. I don't want to spend the money on it. I hate the pool. I don't get to swim in the pool. I do nothing but clean it and service it and take care of it for others to enjoy it. Now, I understand it's part of our business. Without the pool, you know, the pool is a huge draw for people staying here, of course. And it's part of the job. But I loathe, absolutely loathe to spend any money getting a brand spanking new pool liner, because this, I don't think we're talking about $500.
No. Did you happen to mention how big the pool is?
The pool is 12 meters by 8 meters.
It's big. That's a big liner.
It's a big liner. So, that's going to be...
Any ideas, podcast listeners?
I've been all over the internet looking for a more professional patch kit. So if anyone listening has a pool with a liner and has had this problem, and not just a little tear, but that bad boy ripped. So how did it rip? Well, from my research, it is the corner of the pool that has that gets the most sunlight. And it's over 12 years old and just baking in the sun year after year. It just becomes weak. And that's
brittle.
And that was who knows, maybe it froze. Mm-hmm. We don't drain the pool over the winter, but I don't know. It's just time. When I explained
it's
to
above the water line.
It is above the water line as well. So wonderful. That is my pool story. And we'll see how it plays out. We might be draining the pool. I mean, it looks great now. The water's blue again. It's above the water line, so I can refill the pool. It's probably not great for it because it's putting more stress. But we have a yoga group coming, and they want to do...
Well, as he's saying it, we're looking out the window with it snowing, so none of this actually matters at all. But it's just, damn, he got it ready way early. The pool normally opens in June, and
I'll start doing it in mid-May.
Exactly. And but now, thank God we realized this early,
well,
because this
time
is going to take some time. Oh my gosh. Oh, we didn't even mention we got a new car.
Well, you make it sound so,
well, I know it's not that exciting, but thankfully we do, because it's four-wheel drive, and now there's some real snow on the ground today.
So our car is a 2008 – the current car I still currently drive is a 2008 Hyundai ED8 i10, which is a tiny, tiny little Hyundai built for, like, the cities. And we have put 250,000 kilometers on it. We have trashed this car. Anyone who's been to our house knows how terrible – the road is leading up from the main road up to our house, and the suspension is shot. But let me tell you, South Koreans can make a car.
I rolled it down a hill and got trapped upside down. It was flipped back over, and the car freaking ran.
That was month one.
That was the first month. We've driven it all over Western Europe, and it has hauled literally tons of garbage and recycle.
We do not have a garbage pickup to our house here, so we have to drive it to the end of the road. And no matter how careful you are, you know, laying down tarp or keeping all the recycling in the recycling container, you're bound, with the amount of people coming through and the amount of garbage I haul, to spill it inside your car. And our little car has turned into literally a garbage truck.
Not to mention, we did not have the money or realize to spring for air conditioning when we bought the car. Living along a Strada Bianco or white dirt road, if you have those windows down, the dust collects on everything, even if you wipe it down or try to hose it down.
There's no getting the dust out of everything.
No. And, oh my God, if anyone watches the latest vlog, they can see how dusty our car is in there. It's horrible. But, so it was time to get a new car.
It was definitely time. And there's incentives right now to buy a new car over a used car in Italy, because to boost the
And for the emissions and things like that, too.
Yeah.
It's a much cleaner car.
So we got the most practical car we could possibly find. Now, there's no pickup trucks here. You say, why don't you get a pickup truck? There are pickup trucks, but they're kind of hard to find. So most of what Europe uses are these little tiny delivery vans. They're on the same...
You've seen them.
If you've been to Europe, you've seen them. They look like a car up front, but then no windows and a little vanny kind of thing in the back. And what's called the Volkswagen Caddy. It's the Caddy. And it's really funny, because we got this car. I researched it. And one thing we definitely needed was all-wheel drive, because obviously for today. We plan on continuing to live on white roads, and it's slick, and when it snows, so we needed to have all-wheel drive. And the other thing we had to have was good headlights, because it is dark as crap out here at night, and there's animals that run across the road, and I really wanted the Xeon, or mm-hmm. whatever headlights. And the only one that offered these two things was Volkswagen. And it's really nice. It's the only one also that felt more like a car and up front and not a work van.
Yeah.
But our car is a commercial. It only has two seats and then the van part. So mm-hmm. it's a commercial vehicle. So there's a lot of tax incentives because it's not a passenger vehicle.
Well, it's hysterical because those Xeon headlights that we felt like for safety were really important, not only along our road, but Italian country roads just in general between cities and things are not lit very well. If at all. And this was really important to us. And, you know, throw in some extra airbags. That doesn't sound like a bad idea either. We got the
base model, but all if there was a safety feature, we got it. So
yes.
We got more airbags. We got the lights. We got the all-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's a base model.
No stupid parking assist or anything like that. Well, Gaji loves to inspect our finances, our purchases, and
he likes the fact that we can now carry things.
Oh yeah! First and foremost, it was how long is it? And okay. You could tell he was already wheels in motion of what he was going to have Jason haul. Oh yeah.
A couple of days we go to pick it up. He wants to know how high the back bumper is. And I go, I have no idea. We'll have it in 3 days. We can measure it then. Why? Oh, I was just thinking about building a ramp. Why are you building a ramp?
Okay, so he has some ideas for sure. However, the extra airbags and the headlights, waste of money. Waste of time. Who needs it? That's what he said. He sounded like Jason's grandma. Who needs it? Who needs the headlights? Who needs the airbags? It was just like, oh my God. Old man doctor, I cannot believe you don't think that the lights and the airbags are important. What a waste of money. So classic Gaji.
The most ironic part about the whole car purchase is it has sat in the driveway since we brought it home from Bologna. I refuse to drive it down our horrible road because I don't want to ruin the suspension. So I don't know. It's one of those things. The little Hyundai that we have has just really started making the lifters are making noise, and when you go to the rotors are all out of whack. So when you go to stop on the freeway, the whole front end shakes, and it's just gotten to the point where now it's just going to start pouring money into this little car. So I don't really want to do it. But what I will do is drive it this summer and just beat it to death until it dies. And not drive the brand new car.
I know. He was talking about wanting to get a cover for it. Because we're going to have it parked so long before we actually use it. Oh, maybe that's why Gaji inspects our purchases.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's one of those things like if we didn't get the new car, the car I'm currently driving would crap out on us immediately. You know, just at the worst possible moment. But now that since we do have a option sitting here, that little red car with 250,000 kilometers will go another.
Keep on going.
It'll go another 100. So, that's the way life works, right?
Today, we got to go get our fingerprints.
Ah, yes. We will have 10 years of residency here in June. So we arrived here in the end of December, and I believe we went right after the new year to the Comune. But you can't, you don't really officially have residency for the first 6 months. So that would put us in June. So we can go now and apply for our citizenship, which I'm really excited about. It's just another gathering, just like we have to do for our permesso di soggiorno. It's a gathering of a bunch of documents. The only one we need this time, which is tough, is an FBI criminal background check, which sounds like not a big deal, but it's a pain in the butt. You got to go to the questor and get your fingerprints. Then you have to mail them to the FBI. Then the FBI mails them all the way back to you. Then you have to send them to the Secretary of State of the United States to get what's called an apostille, or make it an internationally recognized document. It's just a bunch of paperwork and money, but it's going to take forever. There's a service that rips you off that'll do, like, speed up the process and do it for you. I mean, we're talking like $18 money order to the to the FBI, and then an $8 money order to, so that, you know, $25 turns into $125. But
for $125, we could do it for you.
Yeah, they all do it for you. So I think that's the route we might go. And then other than that, it's just getting the normal documents that we have here in Italy, our tax returns and our Camera di Commercio and all that stuff, and submitting it and waiting.
There you go. You know what I just realized? If it stops snowing, we should fly the drone.
Oh, yeah, we should fly the drone.
If it stops snowing, to then get a drone shot of snow in April, that might be kind of cool.
That would be cool. The only problem is you're right now using your iPhone as a
time-lapse. I'm not going to have any juice.
You're not going to have juice because the drone eats your device.
That's true. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it works out or how long the snow lasts. As we were talking about the car, I forgot to mention, if you haven't watched the latest vlog from Italy, it is about our trip up to Bologna to pick up the car. We were planning to take the train, and we missed our train, which is not something we normally do.
We were trying to catch a 7:20 train out of Fano, which was very ambitious, pardon me.
Yeah, even though we're really early risers, I don't know how we missed it.
We missed it by like 10 minutes.
We got stuck behind the oldie.
We got stuck coming out of Piobico.
Oh my God.
Getting to the Superstrada. We got stuck behind a Fiat Panda, which, you know, anytime you're behind a Panda, you know it goes slow, and then a couple of trucks. So that just kind of put us behind.
Yeah, those turns, if you can't pass, you're stuck. So that slowed us way down, and we decided we could either wait for the next train or
just start
freaking
going.
Go. So classic, we just kept going, and we were going to do a whole vlog about the train travel in Italy, and that didn't happen. So instead, we did one about our trip up to Bologna along the Autostrada, and mixed in a bit from flashbacks of a trip to Rome we had taken about a year and a half ago. So that's up on our Facebook page, on Vimeo, and on YouTube. You can check it out.
So let's talk about train travel in Italy for 2 minutes.
Okay.
The last train we took was to Rome. And we don't travel by train very much in Italy because I don't think it's not a great experience. A lot of guests will say they're traveling around Italy by train, and my thing is always, why?
Why?
This is not Northern Europe. If you're going between major cities, like we have to go from Milan to Rome. Okay, there's a fast train. It's a Freccia Rossa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Freccia Rosso. It's a fast train. That's fine, but to like travel through Italy is. Public transportation is not the way to go. Rent a car. Don't be afraid. First of all, they learn how to drive a manual transmission. Oh, my God. I know if you live in North America, they're harder to find, but most of the world uses manual transmissions. So, for instance, my brother's coming here, and he's complaining about how much it's cost to rent a car. Now, when we rent a car, it costs hardly anything. Well, one, we're renting it in February, so it's probably cheaper than if you're doing it in July. But secondly, we can drive a manual transmission, so we don't have to get one of the – they know if you can't drive a manual that they can upcharge you for that. So his week rental is like five times what it should be because mm-hmm. he has to get an automatic transmission. So go find one. Just learn. It's not that hard. It's a great skill to have. What if you have to be a getaway driver one day?
You never know.
You never know. You can hop into anything now and drive it. So renting a car is the way to go. It's not that big of a deal to drive in Italy. It's just like driving in anywhere else you're from. We drive on the same
street. What about roundabouts? People freak out about roundabouts.
Yeah, watch your YouTube video or something. It's really easy.
It is. And don't be freaked out. Just stay in the roundabout if you don't
know where to get off.
Yeah, where to get off. Just loop it around again.
Now, driving in the major cities like Rome or Napoli, that's a different thing. I wouldn't drive in the middle of New York.
Some guests have asked, you know, if they're flying into Rome and they're wanting to rent a car to get to us, or flying into, like, this just happened. They were flying into Florence, but she was like, it's a mess at the Florence airport renting a car and getting out of there. And it is. I hate it. I totally start pitting out. It is just a disaster. The traffic, the street indications, the signs are horribly marked. And so she said, is there a better place that I could rent a car to come to you? And I suggested Arezzo. It's halfway between us and Florence. then you're in a smaller town. It's not nearly as hectic or crazy. And she said it was just so much more enjoyable. So she jumped on a train from Florence, went to Arezzo.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate in that situation. Here's why I wouldn't do that. Because we land at the Florence airport, which is not in the city center. It's on the outside of Florence. There is no fast way. It's a bus. So then you have to get on a bus to go into the center of Florence to then get on a train to go to Arezzo. Now you're still
in... I think she was in the center, but whatever.
Oh, well, if you're not flying in... If you're flying into Florence, then no. You can drop right... You can jump right on the Autostrada. But now you're in the center of Arezzo, which is not... It's a smaller town, but you're still in the center... Like, just get the car figured out and get on the freaking freeway.
That's true. I'm just saying, I understand if you want to break it up a little bit, but also... The accessibility to trains will leave, if that is how you're relying on your travel, will leave you missing huge chunks of Italy because the trains do not come into our area, for example.
You have to go to the coast.
Exactly.
Trains do not show up on time, nor is the Trenitalia website very easy to use. I just was on there, and I can figure it out because... We speak Italian, but the English version of that site is
a bit confusing.
A bit confusing.
It's also not the trains of France and other parts of
Europe. No,
these are
beautiful.
This is not a luxury train traveling experience. I think we've talked about this before, but I'll never forget being on a train, being in the first class, and there was like a Russian oligarch and his boy assistant or whatever, and they were just so upset and flabbergasted that there was not only not drink service where they came and brought it to you in first class, but there wasn't a food or drink car on this train, and we were going to be on the train for more than 3 hours. And he was up in arms. How is this even considered first class? Well, it's an Italian train.
You're lucky it's not on fire.
You're lucky it's right.
That reminds me of another one where one winter we were taking the train to Zurich, and the trains kept getting canceled. Finally, we get on the last train of the night. We start smelling smoke halfway from Fano to Bologna. They stop the train. Oh, the brakes on one of the wheels locked up and is now on fire. Do they get everyone off? No. We're just going to throw snow on it until we put the fire out and keep on keeping on. Awesome.
So that's why we're not crazy about train travel.
No, and the Italian autostrada system isn't bad. There's places to there's the auto grills, and traveling around Italy by car is nice. People drive crazy fast. Just let them pass you. It's not aggressive like it is in other parts of the world. Just
not at all.
Let them pass. They'll go by. They'll be happy to pass you. Everyone's pretending it's a Formula One race anyway.
I know Jason is.
I know I am. That's another thing about our new car. It doesn't corner as nicely because it's longer and higher. It's the center of gravity is different. We live in a very turny, hilly area.
You can't corner, but you can now pass.
We do have more power. We have diesel.
Nice. I think it's time to wrap it up and take it home. We got some other work to do, and we got to get these fingerprints done.
Yeah, we got to get going. We have people showing up. We got to see if they're going to be able to get up the driveway today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't believe it. Guests arrived today. You got to get the heat on.
I know. We got it. All right. We're going to skip the reading this week.
I think so. We'll skip reading this week, and we'll get back to the book next week.
Okay. Bring us home.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast from Italy. You can find us at letavolamarche.com. Shoot us an email. Ask us your questions. info@letavolamarche.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, letavolamarche. LATAVOLAMARCHE. And you can always find me on Instagram at Ashley Bartner. Check out the vlog. Subscribe on YouTube.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Tell a friend if you like it. And
share the videos if you like.
Share the videos, share the love. We really appreciate each and every one of you listening and downloading. And from Piobico, Italia, under a freshly fallen blanket of white snow. Holy crap. We'll catch you guys next time. Thank you so much.
Ciao. Bye-bye.